is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. Just got out of the World Healing Meditation, and we're still kind of flying high after that one. It's on the website. If you want to go to the BBS site, it's on there and check into the World Healing Meditation. If you're not, sign up on the newsletter, because we constantly put out these newsletters when we're doing these healing meditations, which are actually sponsored by the Pleiadians and other off-world visitors. They tell us the exact dates when these energy influxes are coming in and when to have these meditations. So anyway, go to eseti.org and sign up for the newsletter, and we'll let you know when these meditations are. They're actually at 7 o'clock, and the meditations go for an hour, and we cut it a little bit short to go on the show tonight. But they go for an hour, and they're very powerful, and thousands of people are getting involved in it now. So anyway, it's definitely having an impact on the earth. A lot of shifts, a lot of changes going on right now, and we talk about that during the meditation, before we go into the meditation. So we give people updates on what's happening. But anyway, I've got a great show tonight. I've got Eden Sky, that since 1995, she's devoted her life to researching and teaching the mysteries of the ancient Maya, their prophecies, and their astounding time science. Eden has studied directly under Jose Arguelles, the man who is largely responsible for the global interest in the Mayan calendar system, and now the infamous 2012 date. For the past 15 years, Eden has been the author and publisher of the annual 13-moon natural time calendar, a modern application of ancient time wisdom that offers a new paradigm calendar system currently used by people in over 90 countries around the world. Her mission is bridging and bringing universal teachings of wisdom and compassion to help humanity actualize our potential, that we may fulfill our mission in this great process now underway, together living through the shifting of world ages. Boy, I can go on and on and on, but it's a long one. So actually, I'll just go through the rest of this during the interview. So Eden, are you with us?
Absolutely.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Hey, and I can't thank you enough for your work. I love the Mayan calendar.
Yeah, it's very helpful during these times to have a daily reference point that connects us into the not only the transformation process taking place on the Earth, but also to the sacred galactic ordering dynamic that governs these processes and gives us a lot of inspiration and guidance, and also the alignment with people all over the world who are aware that they're part of this transformation process. So it's a very meaningful tool to align with, and it's been an incredible honor to been working with Jose Arguelles' teachings for the past 15 years, and he was the man who first brought attention to the 2012 date, and so obviously we're getting closer and closer and closer to this date, and so his work and the revelations he's brought through are all the more significant.
Now, it says in your recent journey to Guatemala that you actually worked with the Mayan elders and including grandfather, I'm not even going to say his name. Go ahead and pronounce his name.
Yeah, well, his Don Alejandro. He's also known as Wandering Wolf, and he is the head of the Indigenous Council of the Elders of Guatemala, and he's representing 440 tribes, and he's also an advisor to the president of Guatemala, and he's been one of the most vocal messengers of the Quiche Maya, who's been touring the world. And we had the unspeakable honor of meeting with him and doing fire ceremony with him. And I did want to share, considering the focus of your work, that when we spoke with him as a private group, he was very clear in stating that the Mayan calendars and the Mayan fire ceremony were given to them directly by the four original prophets from the stars. So he's very, very clear that the origin of these mathematics and these time systems are from the star people. And so I wanted to mention that, since that's the focus of your work.
Great. I heard a little rumor that they came from the Pleiades. So,
well, you know, yeah, they have, you know, the Maya had many star bases, definitely yeah. Pleiadian, also definitely very connected in with the Arcturians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, there's so many different ones. I hate to just, you know, we work a lot. The Pleiadians are ones that started us off on doing this meditation, and they would tell us when these energies were coming through.
Uh-huh.
But we also work with the Arcturians, the Andromedans. There's an Orion Council of Light. There's so many different beings out there. The Sirians lately are some of my favorites, especially the Felix. They're fun to hang out with. Pretty amazing. We're actually getting photographs of them appearing here lately.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a term that Jose Arguelles has used recently as part of what is underway right now in this time of prophecy is the what he calls the divine descent. And so my understanding of that is these you know, star beings or extraterrestrials or however you want to term them, they are becoming more accessible and penetrating this third dimensional world more and more through their information, through their inspiration, through their guidance. And really, in my perspective is that they are, you know, very available to anyone who makes themselves willing to receive their guidance and their vibration. And, you know, it's not really some supernatural thing, and it's not necessarily, you know, there may or may not be phenomena involved, but really it's about a vibration. It's about a higher vibration. And, you know, also my Buddhist, Tibetan Buddhist Kenpo teachers, we were with them several years ago, and someone asked them, they said, you know, when are the ETs going to show up? And they said, the extraterrestrials have been here since beginningless time. They said, it's a question of when are you going to have the eyes to see them? And they spoke about how, you know, different people have different capacities. Some people see them. Some people might hear them. Some people might feel a presence or just feel a certain inspiration in their heart. And so I think it's important to kind of redefine this particular idea about what an extraterrestrial means. And I think there's to me it's a particular vibration the ones we're talking about are very benevolent and are here to help us evolve. And you know, what I wanted to point out too is that I think that what's really essential in these times of the living prophecy, that we really need to expand our context for who we really are. You know, we are all terrestrial, celestial beings. We're all evolving alongside and within this universe, and we need to perceive our role more clearly. The first step, obviously, is understanding the Earth as a unified whole, understanding ourselves actually as planetary beings. And then beyond that understanding, the galaxy is a unified whole, and the fractal nature of how that all connects into our own humanity. And you know, in this particular world age era that we're closing, there's been a real confusion, we have so many artificial boundaries. You know, it's like, okay, I live in Oregon and I live in the United States, and I am a this person, I'm a that person. This is my religion. And we have all these categories of ways to, you know, separate and put ourselves in these boxes. And I think part of this important process is about waking up out of those and really understanding that we are celestial beings. You know, it's not some far out thing. It's actually the natural way.
Yeah. Going back to our down to earth on our earth connection here. Could you explain the difference between the Gregorian calendar that most people use right now and the Mayan calendar?
Yeah, there's a lot could be said about that, so I'll try to briefly. A calendar is a programming device. It's an instrument of culture. A calendar is how society is organized. And if you look, you know, back in time, you'll see that there was many, 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 many types of calendars that all different people in different cultures used. And, you know, typically a calendar was meant to connect you to the natural seasons, but it was also meant to connect you to your own tradition and your own culture. And then if you kind of fast forward, basically what happened with the Gregorian calendar that we now use around the world that tells us that today is what, Saturday, December 11, 2010. You know, this calendar is normally is very unquestioned. People just go, oh, yeah, today is December 11th, and we're about to start a new year, and just kind of go along with it, and that's what's going on. We've got our seven-day week, and we don't think much about it, and we certainly don't realize that it's programming us every day. And actually, this if you look at the history of where this Gregorian calendar came from, it's wrought with corruption, genocide, you know, a lot of things that most people would not want to be a part of. And it has to do with Pope Gregory the 13th of the Roman Catholic Vatican. They essentially made a reform of the previous Julian calendar in 1582. It took 10 days off the calendar, changed the leap day rule, gave it a new name, and then gave this calendar out to the world. And then they went around conquering indigenous people and giving this calendar out. And it's become what's called monotime. It's like the one time that unifies the entire planet, regardless of your, you know, your culture, your religion. You know, it's just this, it's just everybody everywhere, no matter what, oh, today is December 11th. And what we don't realize is that this calendar is completely illogical, it's completely irregular, it's completely artificial, it's completely man-made. And it does not serve us to connect to nature, it does not serve us to evolve or to inspire. It, in fact, distracts us and keeps us separate from the natural world and separate from understanding the harmonies of nature. So when you look at the natural world, you see that nature is this beautiful aesthetic, you know, this living masterpiece of art. Every, you know, when you look at a spiral, you look at a flower, you look at anything in nature, there's this incredible beauty and art to it. And that art, that harmony is actually mathematically recordable. And so the ancient Maya calendars, the ancient Maya were the first civilization to record these sacred mathematics, which is simply that reflect the harmony of nature and its cycles from the human level to the earth level to the galactic level. And so when we follow these natural-based calendars, it directly connects us in with that harmony, so then we are then in phase with it. And just real quickly, the motto of the artificial time frequency, which is upheld by the Gregorian calendar and the mechanical clock, it gives society this idea that time is money. And the new paradigm that Jose Arguelles has brought through that's focused on in 90 countries around the world is that time is art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like that one a little better.
Yeah.
I know, too, that this thing is definitely designed to cut people off from the natural flows of energy. And as far as being aware of the different cycles and energies that are coming into the planet. And I've seen over and over again that this artificial system we have, you know, was, you know, the church brought this in and
right.
You know, basically they had the best torture equipment on the planet. You know, the Catholic Church did. I mean, nobody superseded their ability to get people to do whatever they wanted them to do. And,
well, you know, they single-handedly destroyed almost every Mayan calendar and codex and book in 1572. Bishop de Landa, they, you know, burned and destroyed, you know, millions of artifacts and temples and murdered people, tried to completely wipe it off the face of the planet. They didn't succeed, but it was a huge attempt, and it was because they were in the Yucatan and they became very afraid of what the Maya knew. The Maya knew the cycles of the heavens with such precision that they were convinced they must be devils. And the Maya also had an incredible reverence for the number 13. And, of course, the church associated that with devils, when really it's associated with the power of the feminine and the power of the moon. And so part of the system, too, is about, you know, waking up out of this whole patriarchal spell, which, you know, the Vatican is really at the helm of keeping people disempowered. You know, there's a middleman between you and the divine. And this whole world of sin and guilt and control and fear. And, you know, the Vatican they have everything. They have all the most precious documents, you know, locked in their basement or whatever, their vault,
oh, yeah.
You know.
The catacombs down there.
Right, but, you know, really it's not able to be suppressed, because those forces and all of this, you know, what's going on right now, this 2012 date, we are closing, you know, a world age era that's the Mayan grand cycle is 5,125 years long. and it corresponds to the beginning of recorded history starting in Sumeria in 3114 BC. And so it ends on winter solstice 2012. And so the cycle that we're closing, you know, has been founded on fear and separation and domination and disconnection and corruption and greed and materialism. And that cycle is closing. You know, we have 2 years formally as it closes, but it is and will be continue to giving way. And so these forces of corruption are, you know, they're not going to be able to prevail. It's simply not the, you know, as you know from your work, it's just not, it's like the cycle is literally shifting. The cosmic schedule is shifting.
Yeah, they've told me basically that the old grid is pretty much shattered, and the support for those guys, for the elite and for these dark hearts is just not there anymore. And now they're just kind of like, they're running around crazy like the psychopaths they are, you know, trying to stick their finger in this dike, you know, and there's this huge wave coming in behind the dike and there's nothing they can do about it. And some of them know about it. I mean, but they're still doing everything they can to close down the consciousness here and get people, you know, to continue to be hypnotized sheep, basically. That's right. Their program. But it's definitely, it's an unstoppable force. There's nothing they can do to stop it. And all they're going to do is create some pretty extreme karma, which they're going to have to face. There's no way of running away from it.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of like, I see it like almost like the plug has been pulled out of there, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, what I think is really important, though, is that people really can take refuge in this context for what's really going on. That's what's helped me for the past 15 or 16 years to understand this time of prophecy that we're in and to understand why things are the way they are, to understand, okay, you know, the cycle is closing, and with that, you know, things, it looks like we're going to hell in a handbasket, but actually that's not the case. Actually, this old world is dying, and it's in a dying process, and I think if we can have that understanding that we don't have to be so terrified about what's going on and just understand this is what it is because these are the times that we're in. It's meant to be this intense and this accelerated, and we have to, I think it's very important for people to shift their attention off of the dying world and put their attention on themselves and what is birthing within them, what is emerging within them, because we're sort of in this in-between time right now. You know, the old world is dying, the new world has not yet descended. We're in this in-between time, and it's really important that those of us who are blessed with this context and this knowledge that we have great courage and great faith and really, you know, show up for this job. You know, of surfing these waves of change and not getting sucked in to all the baits and hooks, to be afraid, you know, to be you know, there's a lot of energy trying to generate a lot of fear, because I think that's where those darker old world energies are feeding on, is the fear. And so it's really essential that people guard themselves against that and feel that fear, but then turn it into wisdom and clarity about what's going on, what is their role within that, you know, and there's a lot that could be said about that. It's a very multidimensional process.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen really clearly that there's two worlds, and the polarities are being very well defined on the people that want to take the downward spiral and, you know, ride it into total social, economic, and environmental collapse, and the other group that wants to, you know, live with harmony with each other and the planet and create that world. And there's still, and we are in this like push-pull tug-of-war thing. We're right in the middle of it right now between those two worlds, is what it looks like to me. And I know here at the ranch, we're experiencing that. On one level, we have all these amazing people getting involved, and the best of the best are coming here, and just incredible healers and teachers and everything else. And on the other side, we have the county trying to shut everything down.
Right.
You know? So it's kind of like, so that old world is still, you know, got its hooks, and, you know, there's no reality to what they're doing. There's no stance for it. I mean, there's no logical reason whatsoever with what they're doing, but we're seeing that, you know, this is the microcosm, you know, of the macrocosm, because, you know, right now you look at the political arena there, and what these guys are saying is so transparent, so blatant, and they're so out of touch with the rest of humanity. And it's just like, I think it's just at that point where people are just going to go, I can't even do this anymore. I can't participate in this old program anymore.
Yeah, no, it's really challenging people to wake up and pay attention and to question, you know, the leadership, to question how society is being run and how are we navigating and what are we, you know, what's really going on here, and to be willing to look at the insanity and to take a stand, you know, to be courageous, not in a way where we're resisting it and adding to the polarization, but in a way where we're aligning with what we know is true and having a great faith in the guides that are with us, you know, in this transformation process. I mean, it's a lot, you know, and they, I like the expression of 2012 being the, you know, the convergence of all prophecies. And,
yeah.
I also like, what's been termed about this time is that this time that we're in right now is the time of adjustment and mm-hmm. the time of resolving. And so there's much to be resolved. You know, we've got our own, you know, personal karma, our own past lives. We've got the ancestral lines that we're resolving. We've got the entire planetary karma at large from this entire, you know, 5,000 year wave of history that we're all surfing. And then Jose Arguelles also talks about how, you know, that we on this earth have karma inherited from other world systems, you know, from Mars, from Maldek. And he talks about the archetypes that we've inherited are of this karma is materialism, false spirituality, sex taboo, and death fear. And so, you know, I think it's such a huge moment that we're in. And I think that's why, you know, it's also really important that we really take care of ourselves in this moment and are very holistic with ourselves, you know, really take care of our bodies, take care of our human relationships, be, you know, as grounded and down to earth as we can and be really in the present moment, you know, and really I think the most important thing is that we really continue refining and cultivating our own intuition, because we're in such an unpredictable moment and it's such a huge equation. You know, every single person is adding to this moment with, you know, what they're aligning with, what they're believing in, what they're doing with their own hands and hearts, you know, where they're spending their money, what decisions they're making. We're all collaborating in this huge moment. And so nobody can really say, you know, oh, this is how it's going to go or this is how it's not going to go, because we're all, you know, it's this living moment we're all participating in. And so I think, you know, really we have to be very intuitive about where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing, you know, when we're supposed to be doing what and how, in order to keep finding our way moment by moment. You know, there's not a future in terms of some point where it's all going to be, you know, like this or like that. It's like this ongoing, you know, unfolding moment.
I know there's this huge wave. I believe it's the ninth wave that's beginning in March coming in.
That's Carl Kellerman's work. I'm not, that's not quite my forte, but yeah, you know, the gist of it being just another fractal acceleration, you know, it's just going to keep going and going and going.
So we have to, you know, what's happening, let's say right now, and what do we have to maybe look into our future, a little heads up that might help people to, you know, get through this process?
Well, you know, so on the calendar system that I produce, it's called the 13 Moon Natural Time Calendar. And so it's based on Jose Arguelles' work, which is a modern application specifically of the ancient Yucatec Mayan calendar, the Chilambalam, which is the jaguar priest. And so their new year, it always starts on July 26th. And so we are, tomorrow will be the last day of the fifth month of this year. And then we'll start a new month tomorrow. But so this entire year that we're in that started on July 26th is called the Year of the Red Overtone Moon. And so this entire year, is focused on purification and it's focused on the power of flow, you know, really breaking out of the linear and really letting this flow move us and really purifying the depths of ourselves, you know, the depths of our beliefs and our perceptions of who we are, the depths of what we're aligning with. And then this year is overtone year, so that means it's about really empowering ourselves, really finding our center and really taking command on radiating from our center. So this entire year is focused on that. And so it's like there's no time to spare. There's no time to wait. We have to really clear ourselves out and clear our channels and clear our clear our karma and take responsibility and stop being contracted and stop dreaming ourselves down and being stuck in limitation and really say, I'm ready to be empowered. I'm ready to be who I am, do what I'm here to do, because this moment, you know, is very big. And so we are, and so that's the 13 moon calendar. And then on the sacred galactic calendar, which is a cycle that runs inside of that, just tomorrow we are starting the final 13-day cycle. It's the cycle of the yellow star, and it's about the power of art. But not necessarily art like, you know, painting pictures and dancing ballet, but understanding art, that the way we are expressing and wielding our energies every moment is contributing to the artistic equation of life itself. And so it's interesting that on Christmas Day, December 25th, is actually the start of a brand new 260-day galactic cycle. So that alignment will only happen every 52 years. So that's actually very auspicious that this Christmas we start over an entirely new galactic cycle. It's kind of like pressing a restart button. It's uh-huh. like a clean slate starting right on Christmas. But beyond that, I want to really, really bring everybody's attention to this coming winter solstice. This coming winter solstice is a full moon, lunar eclipse, extremely charged, and it's going to be the exact, you know, two-year synchronization with the end of this entire Mayan world age cycle. And, you know, there's going to be people everywhere doing real ceremony, real prayer, real meditation, real focus, and I just want to really, you know, request that people really show up for that and take it seriously and let ourselves, you know, receive the strength that we can receive from this solstice synchronization. I think there's an incredible new wave of empowerment that's wanting to descend in us. You know, in my perspective, every solstice and equinox is a whole other up-leveling of our process. And this one's very, very important. You know, with the full moon eclipse, it's incredibly amplified. Perhaps some astrologers have said perhaps even more so than the 2012. You know, that'll be a different type of energy. I think the solstice in 2012, what's going to be so charged about that is that it's going to be the most focused on date in all of history. So we're going to have all of our, you know, all of the collective human focus. But this particular solstice coming up with this full moon and eclipse is extremely charged.
Yeah, I was getting real clear message to stick around and do ceremony here on uh-huh. that date. And I have some other people that are doing sweat lodges and things of that nature. We lost our sweat lodge, unfortunately. It caved in from the last year on the 10-foot of snow, and we were going to do another one, but it's just a mess out there. So we'll probably do some indoor drumming or things of that nature. But the 2012 date, I mean, so many people are focusing on this 2012 situation. You know, there's everything from that, the movie 2012, right. where the whole Earth gets ripped right. to pieces right. to the planet X spinning around to something else. I don't, you know, the solar tied into the sun. There's like 30 different realities out there that yeah. seem to be playing out. I was curious what the elders are seeing.
Well, you know, Don Alejandro is, you know, his particular message is, first of all, that they're very unhappy with all of the fear being generated with the idea that it's the end of the world. They're, you know, according to him, that's absolutely not what the Maya are saying, mm-hmm. and that it's absolutely not a time to be afraid. And, you know, they're saying that obviously we're, you know, incredibly out of balance with nature, as is very, very obvious, and that's clearly an issue. But he kept saying over and over, you know, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. He said that the children of the sun will survive. And, you know, they're saying that to them, you know, the completion of this cycle is a very good thing, is a very happy thing, it's a very joyous thing, and that they perceive the closing of this cycle, they call it the return to year zero, as a time when the ancestors of wisdom and the wisdom of the ancestors will return. And so they call it year zero because In the Mayan mathematics and the long count calendar, when the calendar started in 3114 BC, it's noted as 13.0.0.0.0, which translates as just zero. and then you start over again. You count every day, and then so it'll be a return to this zero point. But you know, it's interesting because the Maya, the Quiche Maya, haven't followed the 2012 date comes from the actual long count calendar, and they haven't followed the long count calendar for roughly 1,000 years. And so it's interesting because he's not Don Alejandro is not he's not interested in telling people, you know, winter solstice 2012, you know, X, Y, or Z is going to happen, or necessarily aligning precisely with that date. He says he doesn't want the people of the world to arrive at that date and then have nothing happen and then discount the wisdom of the Maya. So he basically says, well, we don't know when the cycle's going to end. He says, we know we're very close. You know, the signs are everywhere, but we don't know. He says, some Maya think it'll be 2012. Some Maya think it'll be, you know, the next, you know, several years or 25 or 60 years. He's kind of vague about it. I forgot what I was just going to say. When you research, there's plenty of other Maya elders that are, you know, very aligned with the solstice 2012 date, and it, you know, it matches up when you study the archaeology of it, and the Tortuguero monument it very clearly says that December 21st, 2012 is the end of the 13 Bakhtun count. So
yeah, so definitely I've talked to a lot of different elders with different nations, and they all have their prophecies, and they, you know, they all are very similar. They talk about the beast, you know, and the beast has its run for 2,000 years, and then it actually, just when you think there's no hope left, the beast actually consumes itself, you know, and
yeah,
and then there's this huge healing process after that that it happens very fast. Very quickly, and I've always felt, you know, this has to happen. The beast is unsustainable. You know, these huge mega corporations running everything,
yeah.
And this, you know, this unbridled greed and lust for power, just reckless greed, considering what they just did to the Gulf and a few other things. But you know, yeah. we're seeing the banksters and all these things. One friend of mine, I love what he says. He goes, "It's too fat to fly." The beast is too fat to fly, and it's about ready to fold in on itself. And you can see that, you know, it's really obvious right now. It's not sustainable in any way whatsoever.
Well, and also, you know, I think the more people wake up, you know, they're pulling their energy out of it. You know, people are being very disillusioned also and mm-hmm. and waking up. And, you know, there's an interesting book, Sanctus Germanus, this man channeled Saint Germain, and he talked about how how you can imagine if you think about like a dragon that's dying and it's in its death throes and it's flailing its tail around, you know, vigorously and violently. And he was saying that's an analogy for this dying world age, and that's what we're seeing and experiencing is this tail just flailing around. You know, I really resonate with that. I just remember what I wanted to say earlier is that Don Alejandro did make a point of saying that as of October 24th, 2007, Comet Holmes, that when that appeared, they got together with the Hopi elders and all the Maya and the Hopi, and they all agreed that that was the fulfillment of the Blue Star Kachina prophecy, and that therefore, as of that date, between then and 2016, that we are officially in the window of the end of time. That's what they refer to it.
Yeah, they definitely talk about, you know, major, major changes. I know a lot of the Hopi prophecies that I see, the elders, they just talk about how, you know, we've gotten so far away from nature, and our water and everything is just what we're doing to the air and the water and the land. And they're talking about, they said, this civilization is going down, and there's going to be a new one, you know, a major cleanup process and a new one to take its place. You know, I was just listening to, I can't think of his name, Courtney Brown, I think it was, that his latest, I guess they got all the remote viewers together. And one thing they all saw, all the different remote viewers, the organizations, they all had one common theme that they saw. And they saw a very large wave that was generated by something and an incoming planet or comet or something of that nature. And I thought that was quite interesting that all of the remote viewers came up with the with the same thing. And I've had visions of this, and I'm not saying this is going to happen or this has to happen or anything else, but I've had a lot of visions of, you know, people getting off the coast and realizing that maybe it's time to start moving away from the water and things like that, because there's going to be a lot of movement in the water. I wonder if any of the elders have said anything about that.
I haven't heard that specifically from the Maya elders. I know that same St. Just Germanus book, he definitely spoke about that at length, about all the, you know, the flooding to come. You know, I think that it's definitely a very good possibility. You know, people also talk about all the potential of the solar flares, putting the grids out and losing power. You know, there's a huge plethora of possibilities of tragedies and huge challenges and natural disasters that could happen. And I think that's why I still feel that really the only thing to do is to get really clear in our intuition, because if we're, you know, all of a sudden we go, wow, man, I need to move to Colorado, and it's just, then you have to hear that, you have to know that, you have to take action, you have to have the courage. And you know, it's such a huge equation, we don't know, we can't predict for sure, there's no real experts. You know, we can hear a lot of information or theories, but we have to have that discernment and that clarity within of where do I go, when do I do, you know, who am I with, you know, because, yeah, there's, you know, we have to also unplug, you know, from the world of illusion where we're just kind of sitting ducks in a grid and, you know, very vulnerable and don't have any resources to sustain ourselves. You know, it's a serious matter, and that's where we have to stop being distracted, you know, from consumerism and all the various ways we put our energy, and really, really get clear that, you know, what's being asked of us and how do we survive and thrive so that we can be here for this new world era and take our place in that and do the work of building the new world, the new civilization. It's going to come through us. You know, it's going to come through our own hearts, our own hands, you know, through our own sincerity and humility and willingness. It's a lot of work. It's this is not a time for people to be lazy and complacent. You know, it's a time to be very, very serious and really, really open to really learning and making space to receive, you know, real clarity of how to navigate in these times. And you know, whether that comes from one's extraterrestrial guides or one's angels or one's own higher self, you know, to really, really receive to find our way.
Get out in nature. I've noticed that, I mean, it's all these whistleblowers are now talking about how the system, the grid, the frequencies that are coming through the cell phones and your TV set, everything else are all meant to just hypnotize people and just keep you, you know, plugged into that consumer program and materialism. And you should be very scared. You should be very afraid. And don't worry, we're protecting you. And That whole program, I tell people, you know, one day your TV is just going to go blank.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to look out your window and see a big wave coming and go, how did that happen? told me about this? Or how come I, you know, and I'm seeing that over and over again. It's that the people that are so locked into this program, and this is the system of the beast. That's the bottom line. You know, they own it, they control it, and they're using it. And you know, it's funny, even with the chemtrails, anybody that's out in nature can see the chemtrails. I mean, it's a no-brainer what's going on there. And I see even people in the community that are supposed to be awake and enlightened are going, oh, no, there's nothing happening. That's all nonsense. That's all fear and everything else. And I just go, you know, look up. You know, walk outside, look up. You know, look at that huge grid. Pay attention to your body, you know, your lungs.
Yeah, because, you know, the thing is, for me, it's like this this battle, if you will, this battle is being fought on a level of vibration. And so, you know, whether the cell phones with all the electromagnetic pollution, whether it's the media with all of the brainwashing and the distortion of, you know, the way women are portrayed, you know, et cetera, all the consumerism, whether it's the food, you know, Monsanto, all the genetically modified food, the high fructose corn syrup, you know, the food we're eating, the water we're drinking, what we're consuming in the media, the cell phones, you know, all of this is affecting our vibration, which is affecting how we're thinking, how we're feeling, what we're believing, what we're then doing with our days. And so, you know, really we have to be very scientific about our own vibration and protecting ourselves and nurturing our vibration so it can be in a high vibration that's aligned with these higher forces that are coming to our aid, you know, coming to assist this planetary transformation process, because there's a lot of forces, a lot of vibrations that are of those lower energies, of that lower spiral, that people will go down if they don't, you know, align with the other vibrations. And so it's really essential. I mean, I particularly am very, very, very concerned about the food, especially in America. I mean, it's terrifying, especially the children's obesity, and you know, and it's very heartbreaking how you know, you can get the, you know, the poison eggs for, you know, what is it, 29 cents or something, and you pay $5 to get the organic eggs or, you know, whatever it is. But it's very, very sad. But there's, you know, there's more and more and more information coming out, and I think it's absolutely essential that people are really educate themselves specifically about the food they're eating. You know, not only what that's doing to their bodies and minds, but who they're funding through those purchases.
Definitely, I always tell people, you've got to get close to the earth, the bottom line. I don't care. You know, some people say, well, you have to be a vegetarian or you have to be this or that. And I've always said, well, just eat as natural, as close to the earth. Let your body tell you what it needs.
Yeah.
Stay attuned to your body and what's going on, and you'll be fine. And also, it's not a bad idea to do some cleansing, you know, and get your immune system powered up there. Get ready for some of the things, some of the challenges that are coming.
Absolutely. And you know, and our immune system is we can also impact that through our spirituality, through our joy, through laughter, through self-love, through compassion. These things raise our immune system as well, you know. And it's essential that we you know, I think of it also as like a spiritual immune system, protecting ourselves in these times and being aware of how, you know, literally like, you know, our thoughts. And I really feel that it's essential that people use some form of mind training, you know, whether it's meditation, whether it's people I really like are the work of Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie, and really, really questioning our thoughts, questioning what we believe, not just, we hear a thought in our head and we just go, oh, yeah, that's how I think, that's how I feel. And it's like, well, no, that's a thought in your head. That's not you. It's you if you don't question it. If you question it, you take your power back. And you know, there's so many thoughts flying around right now, you know, especially as we become more telepathic and as the veils continue thinning and we become more and more penetrated by each other and empathic. You know, there's tons of, you know, paranoid, fear-based thoughts, or you know, self-destructive thoughts, or you know, whatever it is, and we have to really, really step up in our evolution and question our thoughts, and take our power back from, you know, feeling like a victim or feeling resistant or suffering or, you know, or afraid or confused or, you know, whatever these things are. They're not the truth. They're just something that's unquestioned. And so I think that's as important to do this mind training as it is to, you know, take care of our bodies, as it is to you know, nurture our emotional process and our, you know, really build our relationships in these times. You know, that's also a huge part of our survival and our evolution and our thriving is our relationships and our web of relations. And are we in right relation? Are we, you know, are we learning how to listen to each other and integrate and heal and open up and build these bonds, you know, with our local community, with the people in our lives? That's how we're going to also make it through these times. You know, this is not something we can do alone in an isolated way.
Yeah, we've been getting real clear messages on that, is that it is a time, you know, the lone wolf program's over. People are going to have to get together and combine their energies. And one of the first things we teach here, even before meditation, we teach people how to heal, you know, any unseen negative influences and become the observer and observe these energies. You know, there's an old saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And those beings have mental and emotional bodies, and they can affect your mental and emotional body.
Exactly.
So we teach people to clear your space first and then meditate. And if you have something, you know, if you don't like what you're feeling, do a healing, you know, clear the energy, keep clearing it until you feel that love and joy and bliss come into your life. And I see so many people kind of miss that point, that that when you expand in consciousness, you're taking in a greater territory, greater surroundings, and sometimes things in that surrounding might not be in your highest and best good.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely, you know, the astral realm is packed with disembodied spirits or disincarnate spirits. My understanding is there's, I don't know, maybe 9 levels or something to the astral, and there's the lower astral where there's the more of the suffering spirits and the lost souls, and then as it goes up, it, you know, the higher astral is more of the, you know, the archangels and that type of thing. But yeah, my understanding is that from what I've studied is that these suffering spirits are who are that they, you know, some people would call them evil, but thinking of them as suffering spirits is that they're wanting ultimately to go to the light and to release themselves, and so they'll find human hosts that resonate at the same vibration as their own suffering, and then they amplify that human suffering, and then the human doesn't realize there's this extra energy and just identifies with it and thinks it's them. And normally, these often act out through addictions or through compulsions or through very strong self-destructive behavior or a lot of feelings of self-doubt or confusion or, you know, negativity and depression.
A lot of accidents.
What's that?
A lot of accidents and things like that start happening, you know,
just create sense. Mm-hmm. And then, so as someone can become aware, and you know, it can be a little bit, you know, it can be something you don't want to admit is going on, but it's actually extremely common, that person with that awareness can, like you're saying, to do whatever work it is they do to clear that, and through that, they're actually assisting that spirit to go on to the light, and they're helping remove that Velcro within them that's attracted that suffering.
One of my teachers said, he said, you know, nobody has ever committed suicide by themselves.
Right.
He said, the drive to live is too strong that you almost have to have multiple entities stacked up on you before you'll actually, you know, do the deed. And a lot of times, we've had a lot of people here that were actually, you know, they were committed, basically getting ready to go into the padded rooms and everything. And we cleared the energies off and then taught them how to do it. And now they're living wonderful lives and no problem.
Yeah,
they're just extremely sensitive and didn't know how to discern or how to clear out the low level energies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think most people that are in, you know, diagnosed with like severe mental illness or paranoid schizophrenia, I think that's exactly what it is. And most of those people are, in my perspective, are simply mediums that haven't had any training or support and don't know how to work with that. And I think on the same way, you know, I think we can be aware of that anytime when it can be a subtle thing when all of a sudden you're really feeling like a victim and you're just feeling really, you know, really separate or something. That's why we have to really question, okay, wait, what's going on with my vibration right now? What am I, you know, what am I aligning with? That's the mantra that's come to me now for months and months and months, is that the most important thing to focus on is what am I aligning with in these times? What am I aligning with, and therefore how am I conducting myself? Because I think in the same way that we can be mediums for these lower energies, we can be mediums for these higher energies, these higher vibrations. You know, we can align ourselves with, you know, the bodhisattvas of compassion. We can align ourselves with the Devic earth energies. We can align ourselves with the, you know, the Arcturians and Pleiadians. We can align ourselves with, you know, the intelligence of earth herself, or, you know, and be these mediums or these channels of these higher vibrations that feed out into the entire web and, you know, ripple through all of creation.
Yeah, I always align with the source and have a lot of friends along the way. that's the way I look at it. Yeah, there's so many different beings out there helping out. But the one thing is if we have to be really careful of is if that being is telling you, you know, you're the chosen one and all this flattery and everything else and creating a division, you know, or a separation there, you have to be really careful with, you know, the faker spirits and the other ones because we're all chosen and we're all special, you know.
I think the way to, absolutely. I think it's a very important point is that, you know, if you're feeling, if someone is feeling, you know, if you're feeling egoic or superior, then you're not clear, basically. You're under a distortion. And there's a spirit masquerading, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a very
important tell people, you know, just consider yourself a power tool and just think about what you're plugging into.
Mm-hmm.
And your intention is going to, you know, the mind to which you seek is the mind to which you connect. So it's very important that your intentions are very pure before you go playing around in the spirit realms, because You know, if you seek power over others and you can hook into beings, it'll give you that power, but they're going to want something back. And I love what one guy said. I was interviewing somebody, and he was talking about shamans, how they hit this threshold, and they all have this choice they have to make. And they say, okay, are you going to shift into full service, or are you going to shift into power over others? Which one are you going to go with? And actually, it was Graham Hancock I was talking to, and he said that he ran into a lot of shamans that were not really what people thought they were. And he said there were some really good shamans that were very service-oriented, very loving. He said, but there was some shamans that were very were there to take your power, basically, and you know, cord you into lower levels. So it is important to keep your discernment no matter what process you're in.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep, definitely. And you know, and it's like, for me, what is also the most helpful is, you know, in that process is just really being in my heart, you know, feeling my heart. That when I'm really connecting with my heart, I can feel people's energy. I can feel. Yeah, okay, that person's not in their heart. They're in their mind. They're wanting control. Yeah. They're wanting power. You know, that's a pretty clear indicator someone is looking for personal power, that they're not here for the whole.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I've seen over and over again. I even at the conferences, I wear a badge that says nobody on it. You know.
Yeah, and because if we're really in our heart, we're not seeking, you know, to be greater than someone, but we're also not, and we're in our power, so we're in our own wholeness, which is that sacred equality, you know, of all of us, and it doesn't matter whether we're an elder or a shaman or a 10-year-old child or, you know, whatnot. We're all, you know, we're all equal in children of this, you know, creation. And I feel that, you know, that it is essential that we all make that journey to our own hearts and clear the emotional wounds and relationship stuff that can kind of clog us up, so we can really feel our real heart, our pure heart, which is, like, I think the part of us that can sense ourselves as, you know, a creature of creation and you know, equal to the stars shining and the flowers growing, that we are that nature. And I think that's also what ties back into the calendar system that I work with, is that you know, this using a calendar that affirms that we are nature, we are a reflection of nature, an expression of nature, you know, is really essential, because we've been living in this completely artificial, man-made world, you know, covered with cement and TVs and driving in these machines and looking at these clocks to tell us when to eat and when to sleep and, you know, talking on these little machines and you know, and there's so much that completely obscures that absolute, simple, you know, basic understanding that we are nature.
Get back to that. Yeah, unfortunately, we're running out of time. But before we close out here, I wanted to make sure you have a new book that's just been published. What is it? The Beginning is Here, 2013?
Yeah, it's called 2013, The Beginning is Here. It's an anthology with 13 authors, including myself and Jose Arguelles and Carl Callahan and Jeff Stray. And, it's available on my website, which is 13moon.com, 13moon.com. And I also have tons of free resources on there, and about 20 pages of question-answer on 2012. And I'm definitely available if anybody wants to email me or contact me with questions or comments. Thank you so much. It's just been wonderful to talk with you.
Hey, well, thanks so much for coming on the show. And you have to come up and visit us. Maybe we can do a big Mayan calendar fest up here or something of that nature.
Yeah, let's stay connected, and let's all meet each other on the winter solstice and do our prayers and our ceremony together. And I want to say, in the Mayan code of honor, we say in Lakesh, which means I am another yourself.
Yeah, it's very big down in Mexico. Everybody's doing the in Lakesh thing down there. It's kind of interesting. But, well, anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show. We've got to sign off, and we'll stay tuned.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.